Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we'll start at verse 27. It's a fairly long chapter. But as I said before, what we need to recognize is going on here, that Jesus is using two metaphors for how we are united to Him by faith in His Word. And so, as you look at the points in the sermon, Jesus says, I am the bread that has come down from heaven. And as I said, this is a metaphor for union with Christ, because we are what we eat. And we need to recognize that as we eat together with each other in remembrance of Christ, then we are united to Christ. And that's a fundamental concept. How does faith save us? Faith unites us to Christ so that we are one with Him and He is one with us. Now that's, again, a very fundamental concept. We are saved through faith because faith unites us with Christ. But that idea of union with Christ goes throughout the Scriptures, beginning in predestination. In Ephesians, we're told God chooses us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So that's a rather complex idea. And it comes to life in our own lives when we believe in Christ and are united to Him by faith. So we want to recognize that there's two metaphors here. One, bread. The other one, the physical body and blood of Christ. Verse 27 of John 6. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. And they said to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to him, this is the work of God, that you believe in whom He has sent. Now notice there you have already the idea of believing. And you'll find that again and again, because it's through faith that we're united to Christ. And as I said, eating and drinking is a metaphor for that. So, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. Therefore they say to Him, what sign will you perform then that we may see and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to Him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst. But I said to you, you have seen Me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives Me will come to Me, and the one who comes to Me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. This is the will of the Father who sent Me, that of all He has given Me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up in the last day. This is the will of Him who sent Me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not the son of Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from Me, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except you who has come is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me has everlasting life, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So far we read this word in John chapter 6. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity with which Jesus gave these metaphors, and he very clearly explained that it was not physically eating his flesh and blood, it was not physically eating his body as though it were bread, but it was spiritually being united to him through faith. And we pray, O Lord, that as we discuss these things, open our hearts and minds to hear and understand them and to use them as the center of our faith, because we know that it is union with Christ which gives us salvation through faith. We ask in his name. Amen. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus uses several I ams that are reported in the book of John to identify himself to the people. And this is one of them. This evening, the Lord willing, we'll look at I am the Good Shepherd. But here he uses the metaphor of eating him through faith using the idea of bread. And he really is telling us here that manna, the manna that the children of Israel ate in the wilderness, was really a type of Christ. See that? They all ate of the spiritual food that followed them, and that food was Christ, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10. And so when we look at manna, we don't look at it the way that the Jews did. This is the ultimate bread from heaven. No, it's not. This is a type, an Old Testament picture of a true bread which is going to take away your sins, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as I said, eating his body or eating the bread is a metaphor for union with Christ, because what we eat becomes part of us, and we then also become a part of that bread when you talk about it spiritually, because it's not simply physically eating bread, it's spiritually eating the bread of Jesus Christ through faith. So as we look at this text, we need to understand what's going on. And again, remember that a metaphor is really a picture or a physical thing that represents and teaches us about a spiritual relationship. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's drawing us a picture of what he's doing for us. He is sacrificing himself, and therefore we need to be united to him. And what unites to him, and I pointed that out a couple times again and again, he who believes in me has eternal life. And so that idea of faith, and we're going to see that that faith is based in the Word of God. The expense of perhaps letting the cat out of the bag at the beginning of the sermon. He says to the Jews who didn't believe in him, the Spirit makes alive, the flesh profits nothing. Even if we could eat and drink Christ physically, it wouldn't do us any good. So there goes the false view of the sacraments out the window. If we are physically eating Christ's body and physically drinking his blood, we're not going to get saved. Because I can't do it. What does it? The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. He has communicated to us through his word, and then he accuses them by saying, but some of you don't believe. That's a problem. And so the emphasis here is on union with Christ through faith. And the manna that was given to the children of Israel in Egypt, in the wilderness, certainly supported their physical lives, huh? But with them, many of them, God was not satisfied. If you go on there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says they died in the wilderness without being saved. Now, there were exceptions to that by the grace of God, but we need to recognize that a lot of those people ate that manna and it didn't save them, because it wasn't designed to save them. It was designed to feed them in the wilderness, and it fulfilled that purpose. Now God has something else coming, and that is the true bread from heaven. And so as we look at John 6:31, our fathers ate manna. Jesus says that's not the true bread, and so on. And then he says to them, truly I say to you, this is verse 32, as I say to you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. How do you get that true bread? It comes from God. He gave Jesus. We had nothing to do with the coming of Jesus. That was totally his plan. And so he gave us Jesus, the true bread. And again, he calls us, commands us to believe in Jesus. You know that. And so being united to Jesus by faith, we have salvation. The bread in the wilderness did its job. Jesus came to do his job. Look what he says in verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Notice how hunger and eating and believing are put together there. What makes us hungry? The law of God teaches us our sin. And so we hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. And so through the preaching, teaching, reading of the law of God, we learn our sin, and we begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We recognize that it's something I don't have in myself. How am I going to have righteousness? Well, that's why Jesus is the bread from heaven. He that believes in me shall never hunger and will never thirst. Because the true bread gives eternal life. This is the bread which came down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. And then the next verse, 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And so you have this bread standing before them saying, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They had problems, of course, with that. They said, we know this guy's mother and dad. What does he mean, he came from heaven? Now, of course, they didn't understand the whole thing of the virgin birth. All they knew was that Mary had a baby. They assumed Joseph was the father of it. And their thinking didn't go beyond that. Joseph and Mary knew better. They knew very, very well that this child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. that he was therefore, as the angel says to Mary, the Son of God. And so Jesus is from the Old Testament, the son of Abraham and the son of David. But that's only half of the story. And you know the rest of the story. The other half is that he is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so what we have before us then is union with Christ through faith is represented here by bread eaten through faith. We eat and drink Jesus through faith. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent. And this is the will of God. That was verse 29, verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have our everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It's very, very clear what he is saying to these people. And that is that he is the bread of heaven, and that those who believe in him have eternal life. But they have to believe in him as the bread from heaven. They have to believe in him as the key to salvation. They have to believe in him just as the Israelites went out and gathered the manna every morning, except on the Sabbath. We have to gather Christ. And how do we gather Christ? Everyone who believes on me will never die and has eternal life. Remember when Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead? And his sister Martha, he says to her, do you believe that Lazarus will rise? And she said, yeah, Lazarus will rise on the last day. The Old Testament saints believed in resurrection. Jesus answers, I am the resurrection of the life and the life. He who comes to me will never die. He who believes in me will rise from the dead and never die. And even will never die in the sense that our death as Christians is not like the death of the unbeliever. It is a passing into, it is the gate to the heavenly presence of Jesus. He says to the thief on the cross who believed in him, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so we have a totally different view of death because we have a totally different view of Jesus. Because Jesus is the bread of life, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. And then that's a very, very important thing, that's that. And then he says, the bread that I will give is my body and my blood. Ouch. They didn't like that even less than bread. Huh? And then he kind of eggs them on. He says, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. They kind of object to that, and he makes it again and again. He says that. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you believe that? You have to. Because if you're not united to Christ's flesh and blood, which is what faith does to you, you don't have any life. As we would say, you're dead at the door now. But he who believes in Christ is eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Now look what he says in John 6:56, just before he talks about, or John talks about the people objecting to that. This is 56, he says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. Union, united to Christ. So you better eat his flesh and drink his blood. And again, as the living Father sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eats me shall live by me. And he kind of bragged up bread again. But the point is very, very simple. Union with Christ through faith, under the metaphor of eating bread, under the metaphor of eating flesh and blood. And then, even his disciples object. Who can listen to this stuff? He's going to make cannibals out of us. Interestingly, when the early church was attacked by the Roman government, and the priests of the Greek pantheon, all the gods, you know, they had a whole series of gods, they were called cannibals. Because they took the Lord's Supper as part of their Christian faith. But Jesus then, they say, who can listen to this stuff? And Jesus' answer is, you have to. You're wrong when you think I'm making cannibals out of you. That's not the case at all. And as I kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit ago, he says, the Spirit makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. What happened to the blood of Christ when he was dying on the cross? It ran on, soaked up in the ground. Nobody saved it. Yet Martin Luther observed, there's enough wood certified by the Roman Church as being part of the cross of Christ to make 47 crosses. They wanted a physical connection. And the Roman Church has misunderstood this. And that misunderstanding actually came during the 300 and 400s A.D. It was not original with the early church. We need to understand that. Because they could read. And what they read is what they have in John chapter 6. It's the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh doesn't do anything. Then he goes on. What does something? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Wow. The Spirit makes alive. How does the Spirit communicate? Words. The words of Christ, who is filled with the Holy Spirit without measure, are the words of God because the Holy Spirit is in him completely. The man who wrote the Scriptures were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They didn't need the whole Holy Spirit as Jesus did. But Jesus spoke these words. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, how important is the Bible? How important is the Word of God? The Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, spoken by Jesus Christ, is spirit and life. It is what actually creates life in us. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to change our hearts, to regenerate us. We use the word regeneration for that. Rightly so, because it is a new birth. By the way, in John 3, it does not say you have to be born again. It says you have to be born from above. Twice Jesus says that. And then Nicodemus says, how can that be? And Jesus says, don't you understand that? David understood that. He quotes David, who understood that this is the Holy Spirit creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, he says in Psalm 51 when he confessed his sin. And so the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts, regenerates our hearts by the use of the Word of God. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And then, as I said, he accuses the Jews. The problem is, you don't believe. You don't believe what I say. The essence of true faith is to believe what he says. Our salvation, our faith, our life, our everything hangs from the thread of the truth of the Word of God. How strong is that thread? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will endure forever. It's much stronger than anything you and I know about. It's not a thread at all. It's the foundation of the universe. God created the universe by his word, by the power of his word, by Jesus Christ, you see. And that's the word that these people aren't believing. And so when Peter talks about the end of the world, he says, they scoff. The world has continued forever just like it is. That's one of the modern scientific theories, that the universe is static. No, it's not. It's created, and it's going to end. But the point is that the Word of God endures forever. That's what Peter says there. This day, ignorant are ignorant of, that by the Word of God, the heavens were standing with the earth and the water. God created the world. That's the power of God's world, creation. And God uses that Word to create faith in our hearts that is true faith. So the question for me is not, can we believe the Bible? Is Jesus doing double talk here? That's not the question. The question is my faith biblical faith? Is my faith like Solomon talks about in the Proverbs? Trust in the Lord with your whole heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't trust yourself. That's part of a true Christian conversion. Sometimes it takes a while to figure that out. Sometimes it takes a while to learn that. I believe there are Christians who haven't got that far yet, but that's not their problem. Or I should say that's not God's problem. There's not something wrong with the Bible. So people look in the Bible and see something. Oh, I don't like this and I don't like that. We have a society with a Supreme Court that has changed the seventh commandment into license to sin. Any perversion is legal in the United States. That doesn't make it right. It's still perversion. And we can make a long list, of course, and that's not our purpose this morning. Our purpose is to understand that it is the Word of God that gives spirit and life, and therefore, as Jesus says, we have to believe it. And so people went away. And so Jesus says to his own disciples, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? And we know and believe that you are the Son of God. And so Jesus says in John 15, kind of a parallel passage, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask me what you want and it shall be done for you. True faith is trusting the Word of God. And the Word of God for us is recorded in the Bible. And every word is a word of God. You look at, let's say, 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Does that mean 1 Corinthians is 50% Paul and 50% the Holy Spirit? That means 100% Paul and 100% the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote what God inspired him to write, word for word. So God used the understanding, the theological understanding of the Apostle Paul to write 1 Corinthians, but then he made sure the words were God's words. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's very, very important to understand. And so we need to understand the nature of the Bible as the Word of God. We need to understand the nature of Christ as the bread which comes down from heaven. We need to understand the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, of his body and blood, as those things which literally save us. But they save us through faith. They save us through trusting the Word of God. They save us through our spiritual relationship with Christ, which is worked by the Holy Spirit and which turns into true faith. And so true faith, as the Catechism says, is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed in his word. It is also a hearty trust that the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel, that not only to others, but to me also, the forgiveness of sins, everlasting salvation and eternal life are freely given by God only for the sake of Christ's merits. It's a very good description of true faith. And the question for you and me is, are we truly believing? And we need to exercise every facility that we have, reading the Bible, carefully listening to the preaching of the Word of God, and thinking about it. And not just using it as a rote kind of thing, where it doesn't mean anything to us. People sometimes worry about rote memorization. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven. That's the best way you can talk to God. I begin every day, not because I'm so smart, with the Lord's Prayer. And sometimes it takes me 5 minutes. I think about each of those things. and realize how much I need to hear them and to be engaged in them. The catechism makes it my responsibility. Hallowed be thy name. Grant that we may hallow your name. You see, it's a responsibility for me. And so I want to be very careful to recognize Jesus says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. I am the bread of life. And we are united to him by faith. Faith that centers in what he says. But what he says is spiritual. It's not like you have all these words in a dictionary. Dictionary doesn't have the gospel. You see that? But it's listening to what they say. Amen. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again we thank you for Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful blessing to be able to confess him as our Savior. To realize that we are united to him through the faith which you have wrought in our hearts. To rejoice in such a Savior. To rejoice that you have called us in your mercy to hear and to understand the Word of God. We pray that you will enable us to test our faith by looking at what the Bible teaches about faith. So that our concern is not whether the Bible is true, whether Jesus is telling us the truth here, but whether we really believe what he said. Because we realize that the Spirit and Word are the things that he gives us for our salvation. Receive our thanks and praise. Glorify yourself in us as we put these things to work in our lives, particularly in our personal faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for his sake. Amen.